Hey, hey, and welcome to Stopping By. I'm Doug Pierce, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with Pinnacle Wealth Partners at UBS Financial.
And I'm Jess DeBaere, Associate Director and Senior Wealth Strategy Associate, also with Pinnacle Wealth Partners. We are located in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and can be reached at pwp@ubs.com.
Our team's mission, our just cause, is to bring financial literacy and competency to the masses. We've been fortunate to meet interesting people along the way. They have compelling life stories about overcoming adversity and seeking their passions. Hopefully, you'll see that our guests are just like you. So Jess, who's stopping by today?
Doug, today we are chatting with Nayoji Moriuchi, broker associate with Compass Real Estate and leader of the Moriuchi Group. He is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and his views are his own.
Folks, if he's half as entertaining as his social media presence, we're in for a real show. Let's see who's stopping by today. Jessica, how you doing? Did your boy leave? You go back?
My boy left. He went back from this home that Nayoji helped us buy.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Our guest today helped us to purchase this home, which you know how much I love this house.
It's a very cool house. It's a very, very interesting Brady Bunchy and type of
MCM.
House.
MCM. It's an MCM. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't. Tell me more.
Mid-century modern.
Oh, I would love me some mid-century modern.
I don't know if that's an actual thing. We'll ask Nayoji, is MCM an acronym people use? It's like AMA, Advanced Maternal Age. I know that one too.
It sounds better than geriatric pregnancy.
It does.
How did you make your love connection with your realtor?
I made my love connection from a friend. You know, word of mouth is the best form of advertising. Yeah. So a friend of mine knew him and suggested him.
What did they say about him? That you're like, he had kind eyes, I think. He has very kind eyes.
He does have kind eyes, Doug. You're right. Some might say that about you. I'm not glazing, to quote my daughter. I'm not glazing. I'm just saying.
You're so hip.
He does. So hip. He looks good. He presents well. He's sharp, this man. Hello, sir.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Thank you for being here with us today. We're so glad you've stopped by.
No, it's my... Have you. I love doing these things, so thank you.
All right, gentlemen, shall we?
We shall.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are thrilled to welcome Nayoji Moriuchi, broker associate with Compass and the leader of the Moriuchi Group in Morristown, New Jersey. Nayoji grew up in Morristown, giving him deep roots in the community he serves. Over the past 20 years, he's helped more than 850 buyers and sellers with sales topping $450 million. Is that number correct?
Whoa.
You know, we're actually getting closer to $500 million every day.
Okay. We'll just say $500 million.
We like that. Yeah. Half a billion.
Known for blending data, technology, and local insight, Nayoji helps clients navigate the market with clarity and confidence. Today, he'll share his journey, the trends he's seeing in real estate, and his best tips for anyone buying or selling a home. And so, folks, without further delay, I bring you Nayoji Moriuchi. Nayoji, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Oh, look at that. I get snaps and everything. I love it. Yes. Thank you.
We are delighted to have you. I'm going to dive right in because you and I have something in common. We both grew up right here in Morristown.
Yes. Morristown.
In the Morristown. People make fun of me because I say the Morristown, but...
Well, you have to. You have to do Morristown because...
Thank you.
Everyone thinks Morris. Come on. Yay.
Exactly. Some people go as far as to go Morristown, which is what my dad used to do. God bless his soul. Okay. So you grew up here in Morristown. Tell us how your upbringing in this community shaped the way you approach real estate.
I love this town. I mean, we both came back to Morristown, but it's a special town. I have a deep appreciation of it. There's a really incredible sense of community. And then I grew up on a farm, so it used to be a lot more rural. And so there was farming on the east end of town, a little bit more dense on the west side of town. And then the town center had all those beautiful old homes and the main street. So beautiful architecture, great schools, neighborhoods, and really a community of people that truly care about each other and are involved. And so I just wanted to come back to that. And it's home. So I wanted to come home.
What kind of farm there, Naoji?
It was apples, peaches, and nectarines. So I grew up on it, worked on it until about, I guess I would say like 20-ish. So 20.
Let's talk about how you, so where we like to always start is sort of your origin story. How did you first get into becoming a realtor?
I was actually involved in the sort of technology industry first. So I always joke, like, so the dot-com boom, I was sales and marketing in that. Everything was great. Was with a company that went public. So like,
oh, wow.
Great ride, right? And then I was recruited to a company here locally in Morristown, Mount Laurel area. And then there was the crash. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Like, so, and during that time period, I actually went out and got my real estate license because I wanted to invest in real estate and do some of those things. And candidly, I always thought because we had the farm and my family sort of story with my grandfather and owning land and creating wealth through the farm, but it was land, right? Mm. And what are the, and McDonald's, right? They have all these great real estate, right? So real estate's been in my blood. So I went into real estate full time in 2005, got some great, so I've been in it. This was my 20th year, been in it for 20 years. And then there was the crash. And then I was like, what the heck am I doing?
Move from one crisis.
I'm the canary in the coal mine. No, but I stuck with it. And that's sort of how it all started. And I'm very thankful. It's allowed me to get involved in the community. Mm-hmm. It's allowed me to be present for my kids. And so I'm very thankful.
How did you get started? How did you start to find clients? Because, you know, when you're making a pivot from one career to the next, you have to kind of convince people that, no, I know what I'm doing.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, we've all experienced this, getting into a business. And so part of it is, what type of lane did I want to, what did I want people to know me for? Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate. I grew up in the town, but I said, Morristown's going to be my launching pad, if you will. It's where I'm going to get established. And writing handwritten notes to people, sending letters out, doing a newsletter, and really focusing on the data of saying, this is what the data means. So here, days on market, it's going up, average sale volume is going down. And this is what the data means to you as a homeowner in Morristown. And it was hyper local.
So are buyers looking for different types of homes today than they were like 5 or 10 years ago?
They are. They are. You know, before it was sort of that two-story family room and, you know, these soaring, people still want high ceilings, but it doesn't have to be a two-story high ceilings. And they're looking at sort of their lifestyle. Ever since COVID, mm-hmm. people are really more thinking about lifestyle. How can we use this? If I'm working from home, where can I have? So we're just seeing people needing maybe one or two offices now. Mm-hmm. So it's really about their lifestyle and what they need from their home. And then they're sort of prioritizing some of the functionality. So flexible spaces and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
What is the current balance then between buyers and sellers right now? Does anyone have an upper hand?
Every realtor, I just want to weigh in here. Yeah. Every realtor, it's a buyer's market if they're representing a buyer. It's a seller's market if they're representing.
Well, Doug. As you know, I have some data, all right?
All right, that's true. That's fair.
He brought the data.
In terms of units listed, we actually, over the last 3 years, it's been relatively flat, around 22 units per month, right? Okay. So that's our average. We've had 8 consecutive years of our average sold price increasing.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in 2025, where you're hearing all this information about how buyers are like, prices are coming down and things. It's the average sold price in Morristown, actually year to date, is up 10%. Now that takes townhouses, condos, and single family homes, but we're also seeing our luxury market. So that's really the $1 million plus market.
Yeah.
We actually have seen a real transformation in that since I've gotten into the business. Before in Morristown, $1 million plus, you were looking at anywhere from 4 to 16 units or sales in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it is today?
Oh, 30.
No,
it's 40.
40?
40.
40. Damn. So let's say we were averaging 14 units, just say 14 units, right? Over since, you know, 2003, 14 units. And then over the last, since 2021, we're averaging 40.
Wow. Now,
what categorizes as a luxury home? Is it over? What is it?
So price point. So okay. Million. So I'm looking at the million, 1 million and above.
So I guess that doesn't. One of my next questions was with regard to interest rates. You know, does that affect you, or how do you think it affects that market?
Well, interest rates in general definitely affects affordability in that luxury market. And you guys deal with high net worth individuals, and so they have different options available to them. We've seen people take out ARMs because adjustable rate mortgages, mm-hmm. because they know that their income level, and maybe they'll get some bonuses or certain things in the future, and they'll just sort of pay it off or pay it down. So they're capturing a lower interest rate for the adjusted rate mortgage. And, yeah. and we talk through all those things with our clients too, and trying to understand, we're not just opening doors. We're thinking about the strategy of how can we help you accomplish your goal of buying your home, and who, you know, what partners do we need to be speaking with?
Yeah. Well, so Lynn, let's talk a little bit about advice for buyers. So in a competitive market where there might be multiple offers, what types of strategies can help a buyer really stand out?
It's not always about price, right? It's about the net. Sometimes the buyer can say, look, I am going to pay my agent their commission. So you, seller, do not have to pay a buyer's agent commission. So then their net goes up. Other things related to home inspections, whether you put caps on it. So we talk about, well, would you want to do the first $10,000 of repairs as a buyer? Do you want to do the first $20,000? You know, what is that limit that you feel comfortable taking on? Writing notes, you know, people write notes. Some agents present it, some agents don't.
Nayoji, when we bought this house, if I may interject, there was yes. already a bid on the house and we really wanted this house. And I'm like, yeah. what do we need to do? And you said you could write a note. So I did a little research. I found out that the owner's deceased husband's middle name was Benjamin.
Yes. Oh my God.
And I wrote yes. her a note talking about my family and my son, Benjamin, and I sent it to her. And, you know, I'm just saying, and it worked. Like and all those personal touches really do work. Yeah.
I mean, it's a very emotional buying and selling a home. It's unlike commercial real estate. Residential right. real estate, buying and selling a home is emotional. This 100%. Is where you want to feel safe yeah. or you've raised your family or whatever.
Correct.
There's a lot of emotions to it.
And we knew coming in here that this woman was the only person that had ever been in this house before with her family, raised her kids there. And so I felt like that was important to her to know yeah. who was coming in. Yeah.
It was.
So I see this a lot with clients where, like, sometimes, especially when they're thinking about retirement, vacationing somewhere versus living somewhere are very different. Same thing in I would imagine people moving to Morristown. Sometimes the neighborhood they want to be in, how can buyers know if it's truly the right fit for them other than just, hey, I like the house?
I always recommend to clients, especially if they're coming in out of town, spend some time. Like take a weekend. And if you're local, it's a little bit easier. You know, go on a Saturday or a Sunday. Just sort of like walk the neighborhood. If you're moving from out of state or out of sort of the area into a community, I see this all the time. Like people moving from New York City, they're like, oh my gosh, this is a great value, right? And so when the market wasn't as strong, people were overpaying. So make sure you're connected to the right people that can help sort of reset expectations with valuation. Actually, if you want to read more about that, Predictably Irrational. It's a book and there's a chapter about it. Yeah, it's behavior economics. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's a great book.
That's
and that
right
finds
up your alley,
its way into our world. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have read that book and it finds its way into our world all the time where people, you know, why do people choose their financial advisor? They just like them.
Okay, so tell us what small but important details should buyers pay attention to during a showing in particular that can save them headaches later?
Great question. One of the things that buyers really need to think about is deferred maintenance, looking at the house. Like you're going to come in and, you know, as a listing agent, we'll stage it. Maybe there'll be a fresh coat of paint, maybe some wonderful landscaping. So your eyes are like, oh, wow, that's great. Or maybe there's a new quartz countertop and stuff like that. Oh, that's great. So now you're seeing this house staged and it's beautiful. But you know, really needing to take the time to like walk the outside. Is there deferred maintenance? How does the roof look? How old is the HVAC? Is it lived in or is it vacant? Right. If it was vacant, when was the last time someone lived here? Was the AC or the heat running? Was it not running? Mm-hmm. Right. So all these like little nuances that sometimes you don't realize because you get caught up in the beauty. But that's also why you have home inspections too. So That's why we tell people don't waive the home inspection. You want to reserve that right to be able to get another expert in to take a look.
Well, so timing is everything, right? So, and I know there's people that are waiting for the perfect time. Like for people, oh, I'm going to wait for rates to drop and then I'm going to start to look. Give me advice in those scenarios.
There's no perfect timing. There's no perfect time. It all depends on what you need at that time. Like, what is your lifestyle? Where are you in the stage of life, right? There's a lot of parallels, right? You advise people based off of the stage of life they're in. And the same thing with real estate. Where are you in the stage of life? Are you single and living in Philadelphia? Or are you married with kids and now you're really looking at school systems and, right? So there's certain life situations or life, you know, just periods in your life where you'll need to buy or sell. Because over time, the market's going to go up here in real estate and it's only going to go up more. And so if interest rates go down, they'll actually probably be, yes, there'll probably be some more supply, but there'll probably be more buyers.
We use the phrase, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I will also tell you.
And actually, that's really good advice for first-time home buyers. So first-time home buyers, it may be painful, but you know, if you want to own something, start it now.
So let's, on the flip side, let's talk about some advice for sellers. Can you tell us what's the number one thing homeowners can do to increase their home's value prior to listing?
One is I tell people pre-pack, right? I mean, you have beautiful stuff. I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want people looking at your home and not your family vacation in Tahoe or wherever, you know, right? You're like, or trying to figure out, like, who do I know these people? Do I not know these people? So pre-pack and less is more. And then once you've done that, a fresh coat of paint, curb appeal, so seasonal. What you're doing with the curb appeal, that's for the photos also, and when people drive up. So people start their search online now, mostly. You want that exterior picture to pop and wow them.
I bet a lot of people are like, wow, it looks really good now. I don't know that I want to sell.
They do.
We've done all this stuff. What do we really want to sell? It looks so great.
That's right. Yeah. But usually, actually, people are like, I just did this thing over here. I'm like, well, that's usually when everything's perfect. That's actually...
Set the mood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell us, if someone is now on the fence selling versus waiting, can you tell us what kind of key factors they should be weighing?
If people are thinking about retiring and downsizing and sort of they're in that stage of their life, they should be really seriously considering selling. And I think that's where that comes into a conversation with you guys, right? It's like, where are you going and what's that life stage looking like? If you're in the market and you're thinking about moving up, it also, you're just going to roll that equity into your next home.
Right.
And so you actually, sometimes people go, well, my interest rate's going to be so high. But you know what, your equity is going up this much and actually your mortgage will either, it'll probably be a little less because you're going to roll that equity into this new home, which value has gone up, but you have more equity, in your home. You can roll it into your next home. And so your mortgage amount's going to be lower. Maybe the interest rate's a little bit higher. Mm. So your payment's not going to impact you. Your lifestyle is not going to be impacted. Now you have a bigger home, you have more features or amenities or whatever you were looking for your lifestyle.
Nayoji, I really like your approach. I like, it's consultative. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're really kind of taking the person and you know, it's clear that you've kind of framed your business around, you know, let me help people.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
So let's talk about your business in terms of, you know, I imagine it's very different from when you first started to where it is today. How did it change for you?
It's been a great journey. I mean, I loved it. I wouldn't change anything about it. It's been a great journey. I've started off as a solo agent and was with a small boutique firm for 10 years. This whole concept of team started. And so I have a team. I got my broker's license. I'm licensed in Philadelphia as well. Mm-hmm. So continuing to grow and learn and be a professional, I think, is all part of that. And now I have a team of 10 agents. So it's been great. I mean, we go down to Mullica Hill as well. We're not a number one agent.
You don't turn your nose up at Gloucester County?
At the core of it, it's always been the same of that, you know, being a consultant and understanding where people are and trying to advise them and create a great experience for them throughout the process, because we just want to continue that relationship. We live and work in our communities, right? So we're going to see you pretty much every day, and it's just the right way of being.
So another area of the business that I think about is, and Jeff and I were talking about this, is like, you know, we have a podcast, financial advisors in a podcast, right? Like media.
It's cutting edge. Actually, I got to tell you, it's cutting edge and I think it's awesome.
But social media, to your point, is really important. Like, you know, it used to be if you're a realtor, like you had your face on a park bench. A billboard, right. And all of a sudden, you know,
shopping
people
cart.
Know you. Right. Yeah. But I've seen your social media. Like, you've embraced
Thank
that.
You. Yeah. It's sort of this love hate relationship, right? I mean,
maybe the other order.
Yeah. I actually enjoy it now. But I think in the beginning, I was sort of like, do I really need, and when am I going to do, and how am I going to do it? Am I going to look silly? You know, I'm jumping off a diving board in a suit. Have you seen that one? Some of them are silly like that, right? But some of them are more serious about what's happening in the market or a specific neighborhood and things of that nature. But the whole point of it for us is to sort of give a glimpse of who we are. Someone's coming to my social media, I want them to sort of understand a little bit of who I am.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's a glimpse of who I am, who the team is, how we're going to best support you, the stories of the people that we've helped, and sort of give them that comfort of knowing who we are and how we engage with people. And because we're not going to be the right team for everybody.
You have helped so many families find absolutely beautiful homes. What's your favorite part about guiding folks through that process?
You know, I love developing new relationships and helping them find their place in this world, right? Finding that community that resonates with them. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. It's a gift that they're giving to me to be able to help them.
So Naoji, I am going to ask you our two signature questions that we ask all of our guests. Before I get to that, how can our listeners connect with you if they want to learn more or work with you or your team?
Thank you. Our website, themoriuchigroup.com. is a great spot. Or they can follow me on Instagram, N Moriuchi or Moriuchi Group on Instagram. And if they want to just call or text me on my cell phone, I'm always available.
All right. Are you ready for our two signature questions?
Yeah.
Number one is, what is your earliest memory surrounding money? And the second is, what does money mean to you?
Growing up on a farm, my earliest introduction to money was actually sitting across, then it was RCA. We had bushels of peaches that we were selling. Just sitting there slinging peaches, man. That's my earliest recollection of money.
You were moving some peaches. I like
that. I was moving some peaches. I started my sales career when I was in my single digits.
Yeah. Okay. So then what does money mean to you?
Want freedom. Money is always a complicated relationship. People sometimes feel insecure about it or feel like they sometimes don't deserve it, or what do I do with it? Or that's where conversations with your team come into play and someone that can help talk through your goals and things like that. But ultimately, and we do this every year with our business planning, it's not around the income. It's not about the sales volume. It's about that. What will that allow you to do for the people you love? It's about what will this allow us to do? as individuals. So
I like that.
I love that. Your team must just think you are the cat's pajamas. I'm just saying.
You'll have to ask them that.
Well, listen, Naoji, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your Morristown stories with us today. Stopping by, listeners, if you're buying your first home, if you're selling your current one, if you're just curious about where the market is heading, I think you'll agree there is a lot of wisdom we've shared today. Naoji, we appreciate your time and, of course, your valuable inputs. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys. This was awesome. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
So fun.
Appreciate you letting me share.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This podcast was edited by Resonate Recordings.